Welcome to Dopare Kaiwa with me, Emily. Today, we have a special guest. It's his fourth time on the podcast. He talked about hobbies. He talked about
Halloween.
He did a power hour. It's my friend Donald.
Hello.
Hi everyone.
Great to be on here again, and great to be talking to you, Emily.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're here and that we have time to chat again.
I had so much fun on Power Hour 3.
That was
before Christmas. Now we're all in this new year. That little bit older.
Yeah. That holiday Power Hour was so crazy and so fun. I really enjoyed it.
I know. I'd never done a Power Hour before.
Yeah.
So,
did you feel yoparai at the end?
Very yoparai. Well, actually, no, maybe not very yoparai. Pleasant, like yoparai.
Okay.
Good yoparai.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like a nice level of yoparai. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. What about you?
I was also at a good level. Mm. Not too drunk, but I could feel happy from the alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is I don't know, I think probably everyone has, but is that sort of idea of like the one, you know, when you hit your limit.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like an age thing or not, but like maybe as the older I've got, the better I am at knowing where my limit is.
Really?
It doesn't mean I don't always keep to it, that I sometimes take that one drink too many. But when I wake up the next day, I will know exactly where that line was. And at the time, I knew where that line was.
Yeah.
But still wanted to keep going.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I think that as an adult, it's become drinking. Like when I was younger, I would just drink until I could become as drunk as possible. But now it's like a game. Like I have to drink enough that I stay in that good level of drunk, because if I don't drink enough, I start feeling tired.
Mm-hmm.
But if I drink too much, I start feeling tired or sick. So it's like throughout the whole night, I'm like, okay, time for water, time for beer, time for a shot. Like, I have to like figure out the best combination every time.
Mm. Do you ever have that feeling where the energy is really good on a night? You're with friends.
Oh, yeah.
In Ireland, we would talk about the crack. And
the crack?
The crack.
Okay.
So it's an Irish word that means fun, but it's C-R-A-I-C.
Okay, the crack.
And so people, even though in Ireland people speak English predominantly, we would still ask each other, what's the crack? As a greeting, which is a little bit like in America, what's up? But what it means is, how is fun with you?
Right.
And so people would say, what's the crack? Or you could describe what I would describe to say, if there was me, you, three other friends, and we're chatting and we're talking, the energy is really good. We would say the crack is like, it's amazing. You can feel the crack between us.
Mm.
And that's the point in which you're in a bar and they say last orders, and you go, shall we have one more?
Yeah.
And maybe you've hit your limit and you shouldn't. But you have this feeling.
But the crack is going.
The crack will go. And it won't. Because the crack isn't there because of drink. But at that point, I don't know. It's a bit, yeah, I'm talking a lot to say you don't need that. But
yeah,
I always get that feeling.
That's so interesting. And I love that, like, that the greeting in Ireland, that the focus of the greeting is fun. Well, how are you doing lately since our last episode?
Since our last episode, I'm doing well now, but on New Year's Day, like, I tested positive for COVID.
No, you got the virus.
I did, yes. Yeah. So, so I was sick for a week and a bit, but I'm good now, and I didn't pass it on to any of my housemates, which
that's so good.
Makes me feel happy.
Yeah.
How are you? Today I listened to the episode with Carolyn, and you talked about your New Year's resolutions. How are you doing?
With my New Year's resolutions?
Or in general?
Yeah, in that episode, I talked about my word for this year being eager, like excited about. So I've talked a little bit on past episodes that I quit. I changed jobs and now I started working at Starbucks just last week. Ooh. So I'm excited about that. I'm making coffee and I'm also excited because I was just accepted into this special playwriting group in my city. So together with this group, I'll be writing a new play.
Fantastic.
This year. So
that's amazing.
I'm so eager. I'm so excited to keep doing new things this year.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You picked the word and you are it.
I'm it. I'm excited. I'm eager. I'm not scared. Yeah. And for the listeners that have not heard your other episodes, you are from
Ireland.
And now you live in
England.
And we met in
Japan, in Toyama.
In Toyama. Yeah. So you were also teaching high school.
Yes, I taught in Izumi Koko and Chuenogyo Koko in Toyama, which was a nursing school and a farming school.
Yeah, you had the very interesting schools, I think. What are you drinking tonight?
So I went and got a special beer for this. Ooh. It is just going to show you
spring.
It's called Spring. So this is me looking forward to spring. It's a like special edition from Phantom Brewery, which is like a local English brewery, and it is a strawberry and lemon zest sour.
That sounds amazing.
I am very excited. I have never had this before.
It so sounds hoping springy. Strawberry, lemon, fruity, sour. Sounds good.
I'm hoping I won't open this and go, oh no, I have made a mistake.
Oh no. Yeah, I hope it's good.
What are you drinking?
I am drinking champagne.
Champagne? I thought you didn't like champagne.
I don't, but today I'm celebrating the playwriting group that I was accepted into. So I'm celebrating with very, very, very cheap champagne.
And does it taste better than the expensive champagne?
Yes.
Ah, good.
It's sweet. It tastes like soda. I don't know.
Nice.
Not like soda, but you know, it's like sweet and bubbly. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to open mine now because I am excited.
Let's hear it. Ooh. It was so quiet.
I know, it didn't properly do it. Oh, that does taste nice.
It's good? Okay.
It's good.
What would you like to cheers to tonight?
Well, what I was going to cheers to is that it's okay to not feel fantastic all the time.
Mm.
Like, cheers to, you can't always be feeling good. So if you're feeling low or just meh, that's good too.
Yes. Yeah. Let's cheers to feeling low or so-so is okay.
It's okay. Cheers.
Yay. Kanpai.
Kanpai.
Yay. This is good. I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm curious why you chose that thing to cheers to. Have you been feeling low or so-so lately?
Not lately, no. Mm. For quite a while, like for the last 6 months, I've been on a fairly medium to high wave of just feeling good all the time. But I remember times in which I didn't, and I know that, like, speaking to other friends, that some of my friends are in low positions as well. And it's, I think when I was younger, I used to react to when someone told me that they were sad, that, I should cheer them up.
Right.
They
I should make them happy. Yes.
And now as I'm older, realizing that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
That it's okay to be sad. And that if someone tells you they're sad, they're not looking for you to do anything. They're just telling you that.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that is kind of related to today's topic, which is
reverse
culture shock. Yes. Yay.
That was a smooth transition.
Very smooth. So of course, when you go to a new country, for example, when Donal and I went to Japan to live there and teach English, we both experienced culture shock because we were going to a very different culture, and there were things that we had to get used to in that culture that were surprising. Would you agree?
Yeah. When you joined the JET program, did they have in the manual their description of the four stages of culture shock?
Oh, I don't remember hearing about those four stages.
So it was in when I joined in 2013, so I'm not sure how long they kept this, but they had a model for culture shock, which was the first stage was when you arrived and everything seemed strange to you because it's so different. Mm. And you felt, I'm a bit confused, I'm a bit homesick, I don't know anyone. So you feel a bit low. And then level two is you've got a bit more used to it and suddenly everything is fantastic. You hit that real high. And they describe this as generally within the first 2 weeks, month of you arriving in the country.
Okay.
you have so many new friends, you have all these teachers, you know, you're eating fantastic Japanese food, or it can be for any country. Everything seems amazing and you hit this real high. And then level three is then you come crashing down again because all those new things are now not you anymore. And you start missing the things again that you used to have. And that's people then hit a depression, sadness again. And then level four was then rising back up to you've accepted. Yes, these things are different, but I remember I used to really like them and I still like them. And then you go to about the middle.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that's probably how I experienced culture shock in Japan. First, it was very strange and hard and confusing. And then it was like, this is amazing. I'm never going back to America. And then it was like, wait, there are some really different, difficult things, actually. And then the new things aren't new anymore. So then it's less fun. And then, yeah, finally going to like a middle, like, oh, yeah, some things are different or challenging, but there are also good things, too, about this other culture. Yeah. So that's culture shock. Mm-hmm. And then when we return to our home countries, so when I returned back to America a couple of years ago, when you returned to the UK?
To Ireland, yeah.
To Ireland. Did you go immediately? First you went back to Ireland, and then when did you move to England?
Like about a year and a half after I came back.
Okay.
So I was a year and a half back living with my parents, working at home. And I suppose what I describe... reverse culture shock is that thing that they talked a little bit about, but you don't imagine you should feel because you're going home. How can home be a culture shock to you? It's everything you know. But when, like you and I, you have lived for a number of years in another country, you've got used to so many things that your home actually feels, it can feel odd, it can be a bit of a shock to you.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I suppose I don't know how you felt with returning, but I suppose I could, yeah, how did you feel returning back to America?
Yeah, when I returned back to America, it was very strange. It's so hard to explain. There were some simple things that were shocking. And that was just, I wasn't used to hearing English all the time. And that was kind of exciting sometimes because I could go to a coffee shop and I could hear any person's conversation and I could listen and I could listen and be like, ooh, I know what they're saying. Like I can hear everything anyone is saying. And also when I speak English, now people can hear me and understand what I'm saying, which sometimes was not good because in Japan, I can loudly say anything I want and maybe people don't understand.
You assume people don't. Yeah,
maybe they do understand, but I think that they don't.
That was a habit I used to do as well.
And we both talk too loudly, especially for Japan.
We are very loud people.
So, yes, like stuff like that, or I would bow at people. Sometimes, in a rare occasion, I would speak Japanese to people on accident, be like, arigato gozaimasu, something, and people were very confused. So that was like a very simple example of culture shock, but also my life became very, very, very different when I moved back to America. And so that was shocking. And like you said about the usual culture shock, I was feeling that very low, very depressed, like, oh, things are so different. This isn't the way that I'm used to. Like, I want to go. I was homesick for Japan. I thought, like, I want to go back. I need to go back. I made a mistake almost at that first stage of reverse culture shock. What about you?
Very similar. Like, to give a broad description, I kind of sank into like a black hole of kind of for at least a couple of months.
I
arrived back in August 2017, and I don't think, when I look back at that time, I don't have a lot of memories, because I think I was quite depressed. I was very homesick for Japan, and I didn't climb out till maybe October, November.
Yeah, so it took a season.
It took a season to lift myself up, and I remember I have some memories. When I first arrived back in Ireland, my first full day in Ireland, I had to go down my hometown, which I have grown up in and know my whole life, to get a new bank card because mine had expired. And I actually felt intimidated walking down town because everyone there was Irish and not Japanese.
Yes. Yes.
I actually felt this physical intimidation that, like, maybe this fear that I'd become someone new in Japan and that wouldn't be allowed in Ireland.
Yeah.
And again, once I walked, the next day I didn't feel afraid anymore. But that first time I was afraid.
I was nervous everywhere, especially like going to a bar or a restaurant. I couldn't remember how to order correctly. I felt like I was acting strange. I was using English that was awkward. Like, I was just acting weird. And I felt like everyone around me could see and notice that I'm not fitting in, that I'm not normal anymore. But I'm expected to be, because, of course, I'm American. I should be acting normal. So, yeah, it was weird. Yeah.
I felt awkward around some of my friends from home as well, because I think you were away 3 years, I was away 4 years. Like, I still chatted to my friends from home, but my friends in Japan became my life. I built a whole community there, of whom, like, a lot of people I was really close to, including you, who I would see regularly, and suddenly that's gone. Like, and also I think, I don't know how long it was before you got a job, but I was maybe 3 months not getting a job.
It and took a job, me some time too.
And a job shouldn't give you purpose for life, but being unemployed is hard as well. And so I was in Ireland, and my whole life was now different. I no longer had my job to go to. I no longer had the friends who I knew in Japan. I talked to online, but they weren't there to meet up with. And all my friends at home had been reading different things, watching different things, doing different things to what I was.
Yeah.
that I was out of tune with them. Yes. And that took time. And did you ever fall into, know that stereotype of people when they come back from somewhere that ex-jets like us, we'd always want to talk about, well, in Japan.
Yes, it's so difficult because we were living in Japan for so long. I was there 3 years, you were there 4 years, and I didn't really have anything else to talk about because that's what I was doing. But people in my home country, in the U.S., in Ohio or Nashville, Tennessee, they don't want to hear my stories about Japan, about this place that they didn't also experience, this place that they don't know. So they might seem like, oh, wow, you lived in Japan? That's so cool. And then I want to tell them all the things about Japan, but
they want to know very little.
Yeah, which is fine. You know, that I can understand their feeling, but it was very difficult for me, like you said, because I'm not in tune with them. I've been doing and reading and seeing very different things from them. Yeah. So we didn't have much to talk about together.
It's hard. And also, I feel myself, I grew up quite a bit in Japan as well. Like the Donal that went to Japan at 26 was different from the Donal that arrived back in 30. Because I think at any stage of your life, you are going to develop, but especially living in a new country, the skills we learned, experiences we had, and mixing, as we did in Japan, like so many Japanese people and people from all over the world.
Right.
We developed in so many ways that then when you come back to your original friends, you've changed a bit, but in their eyes, you're maybe the same person you were.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, exactly.
And it's, I remember, so I felt, I felt a bit, you know, not annoyed, but jealous of some of my other friends who went back to America, because I was like, other jets live in America. They can see their friends without thinking that America is massive. And like where I was in Ireland, I had one friend at least, which I was lucky, Johnny, lived in Ireland as well. So we visited each other a couple of times that first year, which was, and we're still very good friends. We still talk all the time, but those first couple of months were really important because that was like an anchor to our old life, and that, you know, we could still meet and talk and be together.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I'm really glad that I did right when I came back to America. The first thing that I did was to travel across America to see my friends. So I visited our friends, Jeff and Allie, who were also ALTs in Toyama. And they were living in California, which is so far from where I live. So, you know, usually I don't have the chance to travel so far and meet them. But I made sure when I first arrived, I visited them. We could talk about life in America, life in Japan. And then I also visited some other friends that I had missed in America. So I think that helps to be able to meet with someone else who understands your feeling and who understands the reverse culture shock, for sure.
And I suppose to anyone who's listening and maybe has reverse culture shock to experience, it does get better.
Mm.
Emily and I we're talking now about like the worst bit, but maybe as our Cheers was, it's okay to feel bad.
Yeah,
that will come, but you will lift out of it.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, the listeners to this podcast are learning English and they either want to travel abroad or they are living abroad now, or maybe they traveled abroad before and returned back to Japan and now they could be feeling that reverse culture shock, especially because now it's so difficult to travel mm-hmm. with coronavirus. So I'm sure that a lot of the listeners have felt this or will feel this in the future when they go to America or go to Canada for what's the special visa Japanese people can get? Oh, a working holiday.
Yes.
Yeah, working holiday. Or go to Europe. Or, you know, even if you just travel for 1 week or a short school trip or something to another country, you could come back and feel that reverse culture shock, I think. And on that note, it's time to try playing a game!
Yes!
Game.
I'm so curious, what is the game going to be?
But I'm sorry, because we're not trying something new per se.
Okay.
Because we're playing a game we've already played. It's the game, What Am I Thinking?
This game. The one I'm really bad at. Okay.
So, last time, this game was a great challenge for mm-hmm. Donal and I. I think we're both creative thinkers, mm-hmm. so it's difficult for us to think about the same word. But for the listeners, the goal of this game is for us to say the same word. Mm. So on the count of three, we will both choose a word and say it. And then for the next word, we will try to think about a word that connects those two words we said. So maybe you will understand after it starts. Yeah. So first, we both must think about one word. I'm ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
Three,
two, one.
Champagne! Spring. Okay, champagne and spring. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
Three,
two, one. Drink.
Cheers.
Oh.
Cheers and drinks. We're close. Okay. I've got it. Three, two, one.
Yotare! Okay. We're dancing around the same
glass bowl. And yopare, which is not a real word, but a word I made up.
Oh.
Because, of course, we know it's yoparai, but yopare kaiwa sounds cool. Yopare and glass. Oh, gosh.
And we can't say drinks or cheers or champagne.
Right.
So wait, it's...
Okay, I've got it.
Glass and...
Ready?
Okay, yeah.
Three, two, one. Break!
Beer, that's what I was thinking.
I thought break because if you're yoparai and you have a glass, maybe you'll drop the glass and it will break.
Bibus, what will the glass be filled with to get you
beer?
So wait, beer and break.
Can I give you a hint?
Yes.
I'm thinking of a different meaning of the word break?
Oh, that's two words?
Yeah. Ready?
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Happy hour!
Drink driving!
Drunk driving and happy hour. Because a happy hour is when you take a break in the day. To drink beer.
I was thinking breaking the law. It's funny. We do. Okay. So drink driving and happy hour. We're circling the same ball.
Yes.
Drink driving and happy hour.
Three, two, one. Alcoholic. Oh, because you crash after drinking in the daytime, your energy will crash.
Oh, I meant drink driving car crash.
Yeah, no, drunk driving and the happy hour.
Yeah.
What did I say? Oh, alcoholic. Because someone who's an alcoholic loves happy hour and maybe do drunk driving. Which is not good.
We're so specific. This whole line.
Close to each other.
So, alcoholic crash.
Three, right,
two, one.
Counseling.
Oh, counseling.
Because, you know, if they're crashing, you've got to get them into counseling
because they're
drinking too much.
Give me a clue.
What I'm thinking is a way that someone could be counseled while in a car.
Oh, right. Okay.
Okay. Three, two, one. Radio show.
Oh, makes so much sense.
Like, you know how they would have, like, and I'm Dr. Gilbert, helping everyone with their romance problems.
That's perfect. Yeah.
What did you say?
I said phone. I was about to be phoning. Yeah, I'm very
phone counseling. Very direct.
Yeah, but you could be in your car.
Phone and radio show. This is it. Gonna get it. Look in my eyes.
Wait.
I'm telling it to you.
I know, but I'm feeling the pressure because it's something easy and I'm not.
Radio show.
A
radio show, but you're listening to it on a phone instead of a radio.
Oh! you had to lead me there by hand. Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Podcast!
Yeah!
Oh, thank you, Emily. I would not have got that.
What? What do you mean? We got it. We did it.
In two goes. That's some kind of record, right?
Wow, we did a really great job. Well, is there anything that you would like to tell the listeners before we say goodbye?
I hope that the listeners, wherever they are, like, be they walking, be they in the gym, be they on a commute, be they at home, like, that you're allowing yourself to be yourself, and you're not feeling any pressure from anyone else or to be someone else, I think, and trying to be like happy with where you are without trying to sound like a guru. And like, shout out to your sister Carolyn, because as she said, she would be listening to my episode.
Hi Carolyn, do you have anything to say to Carolyn?
I always enjoy listening to your episodes, and we'll I enjoyed doing Power Hour, and hopefully see you again soon.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining today. I really enjoyed our conversation. And yeah, I really hope that I can travel soon and come back and feel a new wave of reverse culture shock.
It feels like it would be such a privilege, won't it?
Yeah.
To feel that again.
Yeah, that, you know, that the first time I felt it, felt bad. Now I would like to get to feel that.
Exactly. Yeah. I hope so too.
Yeah. Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you like this podcast, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram at @YoBuddyKaiwa. Special thanks to Jet Alumni Association Music City. This podcast is produced by Trout and Lime. Intro